Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, I'm sure many of the people in our listening audience have heard about and are aware of many of the details surrounding the shooting that took place in Colorado recently at a Planned Parenthood. Here's an article out of thehill.com, and it says this: Obama hopes Planned Parenthood shooting leads to gun control. I tell you, boy, he barely waits for the facts to be found out in a situation before he immediately goes out and tries to turn one of these situations into a political agenda in order to go after guns. But here's what the article goes on to say. It says President Obama said Tuesday he hopes a deadly shooting in Colorado Planned Parenthood clinic sparks national action to curb gun violence during the United Nations climate conference in Paris. So here he is overseas, and he is commenting on something that happened here in one of our states. And by the way, there were actually quite a few shootings that took place in the United States, but he zeroed in on this particular one. And he says this: during the United Nations climate conference in Paris, Obama expressed exasperation that Congress has failed to pass stricter gun laws in response to a string of mass shootings that have cast a cloud over his presidency. Obama said the United States can do much more to reduce gun violence, citing the nation's broad effort to respond to terrorist attacks at home or abroad. Quote, I say this every time we've got one of these mass shootings. This just doesn't happen in other countries. Well, you were in the country where it just happened, right? Where a number of people committed these tremendous atrocities, you know, and the people were unable to even defend themselves because nobody there was allowed to carry a weapon, you know, a firearm. And what this leaves out, of course, related to the firearms, is it leaves out the fact of how many lives are spared because of people carrying weapons. That's the number that nobody seems to talk about. I've heard that some research has revealed that it's upwards of 2,000 incidents per day in the United States, 2,000 incidents per day in which a crime is prevented because somebody has a firearm. Now, I haven't got the statistics to back that up. One of the reasons is because when a firearm is either just alluded to or even maybe even brandished, brought out, it's a crime has not yet been committed, and so it doesn't get recorded that way. But according to some research that I've seen, some of them say that it's at least upwards of like 2,000 per day where incidents like that take place. I'll check into those figures a little bit more, but the bottom line is a lot of them. There's a lot of cases that people's lives are spared because of firearms. Now, there's a second issue here, and this is what I want to talk about on the program today, the issue about mental health and about, you know, this person that did this was obviously unstable. One thing that was reported that he thought that he was a woman, you know, that he identifies as a woman. So he's very confused about his gender, for one thing, and there's many, many other things that he was very confused about as well. He was obviously disturbed, obviously had some sort of mental issues going on, and that seems to be completely left out of the equation. But I think that's something that we see in each one of these events that takes place, the president likes to just blame on the instrument, the gun. There's a lot more here that needs to be considered. Well, I want to talk about that today, and who better to talk about that from a biblical counseling perspective than with Dr. John Street. Dr. Street serves as the chairman of the Master of Arts in Biblical Counseling, and he's also a professor of biblical counseling at the Master's College. The Master's College website is www.masters.edu. Dr. Street is also on the board. I don't remember, unfortunately, exact title, but with what used to be called NANC, I think it's now referred to as the Association of Biblical Counselors. Dr. Street, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
It's a pleasure to be back.
Now, Dr. Street, I probably didn't give that biblical counseling title correctly. Go ahead and correct me on that, if you would, please, and give the website, if you would, too, for what the biblical counseling site is.
Sure. Sure. It's the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, and the website is biblicalcounseling.com, biblicalcounseling.com. And actually, people can find certified, trained biblical counselors in their area just by inputting a zip code and find the person that's nearest to them within about 5 to 10 mile radius or further even. And so it's very easy to find somebody that is both highly trained and certified in your area in biblical counseling.
Excellent. I knew I left off a key word, and that was the word certified in there, but it's the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. And again, that website is biblicalcounseling.com, and you can go out there to find out more, as well as going to the masters.edu website to find out about Dr. Street himself and the classes that he holds there at Masters. Dr. Street, this incident, your thoughts on what took place there in Colorado, and then what I was alluding to before about the missing discussion about mental health.
Now, this is a tragic incident that occurred in Colorado, and I believe that there is a sense in which culturally in our society today, we are actually reaping the fruit of 6 decades of teaching self-esteem and self-love in our public universities, colleges, and high schools, middle schools. We're reaping dangerous consequences on that. Not only does the Bible confirm that kind of thing, but even more recent research has confirmed that as well. The traditional thinking has always been that low self-esteem was very powerful and very dangerous and the cause of violence. That has been very typically taught, and it's in the curriculum of a lot of middle school health classes, high school health classes. But even secular psychology is beginning to realize that that's a false assumption. There's no real statistics behind that. In fact, all the studies seem to indicate the exact opposite, that a person does violent things, goes into a clinic like Planned Parenthood or maybe into a school or a college like in Roseburg, Oregon, where 10 people died and shoots people, is a result of low self-esteem. But the statistics say that the opposite. It's a result of very high self-esteem. It's a result of egoism that has been taught over and over again, and we're reaping the fruit of that. There was a study done several years ago on the relation of threatened egoism to violence and aggression, the dark side of health, high self-esteem. It was done by Roy Baumeister of Case Western Reserve University, Laura Smart of the University of Virginia, and Joseph Bowden, also the Case Western Reserve University. And their conclusions shocked the psych world, were later on published in Psychology Today. And the idea is that they demonstrated when they did detailed questionnaires on mass shooters and people who were violent offenders, such as rapists, that actually they had very high self-esteem. And then they go into their study and demonstrate how in the days of the Ku Klux Klan, it was white supremacy. It was a high view of self that caused violence against blacks or those who supported blacks, or Nazism historically had a high view of the German race and the superiority of the German race, which gave them the right to move forward and to do violent, murderous deeds towards other people that they considered to be less favorable. Even a study done of rapists have indicated not that the rapist had a low view of self, but a woman gave a man the impression that she was better than he was, and so he rapes her as a way of proving her wrong. All of that is coming out of decades of teaching in our school systems, and this is really coming directly out of secular psychology. This whole thing of self-love, self-esteem, it makes people incredibly egocentric. And so if things don't happen favorable in my life, then I'm going to hurt you, or I'm going to do violence to you. And so as a result of that, an uncritical endorsement of the cultural value of high self-esteem may therefore be really counterproductive and even dangerous to society today.
Well, that's very interesting.
Jesus even.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that that's extremely interesting insight into what we see in these cases, because as you're recounting some of these things, I'm remembering the case. I don't remember the name of the assailant in this case, but I remember he was the one sitting in like a black BMW. The family was extremely wealthy, and he did videotaped himself on this tirade, but it was all about how that girls weren't falling for him, and they couldn't realize what a great catch he would be, and you know, it was really cathartic, I guess. And he was you know, just self-absorbed, and therefore he was going to go ahead and show them and show the world, you know, and lash out. So it leads to this idea of depression we see with these people, and it leads to this, the anger, these outbursts of anger against them, right?
Yeah, there is an intense self-love for their own view of life. And we see this in Islam today, too. We can see they're pressing their superiority, and they believe that they have a right now to kill people who are opposed to them because they are superior and their view of life is superior to everyone else. That comes from a very high view of self. And Jesus warned about that. He warned about it. Matthew 22, when the Pharisees confronted him, and what is the greatest law in the commandments, or the greatest commandment in the law? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've heard that many, many times. I have multiple books on my shelves of psychologists, some of them Christians, who actually take that verse and say, see, Jesus is teaching that you need to love yourself more.
I've heard it myself.
When in reality, yep, Jesus is teaching the opposite.
Yes, I've heard that very same thing. People say, well, see, in order to love my neighbor properly, I have to love myself, so I'm going to concentrate on loving myself, and then that will result in me knowing then better how to love my neighbor. But exactly, he's teaching not self-focus, or as Maslow would talk about, self-actualization. He's talking about denying yourself. John chapter 12,
yeah.
Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, Jesus said. So, boy, you talk about twisting the word of God, but that's exactly what I've heard people do with that text.
Yes, exactly. They turn it into three commands. That is, you need to love God, you need to love other people, and you need to love yourself. But Jesus is very clear in Matthew 22 and verse 40 on these two commands. The whole law depends, the law and the prophets. It's that loving God and loving others. And Jesus actually assumes that we love ourselves well. We love ourselves way too much. And if we loved God and loved other people to the same degree that we loved ourselves, we'd have great relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a key thing.
Yeah, I think.
And in fact, the Apostle Paul comes back to that in Ephesians 5 as well, and he talks about husbands loving their wives as themselves. In other words, Paul assumes that husbands already love themselves a lot, and if they loved their wives to the same degree of passion that they already love themselves, they'd have great marriages.
You beat me to it. I was heading right to the same text of Scripture, but in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 29, he says this, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourished it and cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church." And so here he's saying that, you know, in our nature, we're going to, don't worry about having too little of a love for yourself. If anything, it's built in. You have a love for yourself already. And what's unfortunately happening is we're cultivating that more and more in our society today, and that's leading to really dark and disturbing consequences. Now, some people listening to this, Dr. Street, they might say, "Now, wait a second. Now, what do you want people to do? Have some sort of Eeyore complex? You know, going around saying, 'Well, thanks for thinking about me,' and you know that not to have any sense of." Care for themselves at all. You know, let's make sure that we say what we're not saying as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you can go to the other extreme and just not care for your personal health or your own personal life. But you see, a person who really is in Christ, who understands the gospel, doesn't live for themselves, but lives for Christ. That means they live the best possible life for Christ. So they're going to care for themselves. They're going to love God and love others above the human depraved tendency to love self. They're going to do that. But we're not going to treat ourselves violently like a cutter would do, or we're not going to do things like commit suicide because we don't live for ourselves, and we don't die for ourselves. If we live for Christ. If we die, we die for Christ. And so there is this intense love for God that keeps us from swinging to the other direction and just not caring about ourselves, mistreating ourselves, overeating, and so many other things that we could do, not properly exercising, not properly taking care of our body. But you see, different from the world, as Christians, we don't do that for self-love purposes.
Mm-hmm.
We do that because we love Christ and we want to be the best we can be in our culture and society in bringing the gospel to our society and culture.
Amen.
And I think a careful, there's been such a neglect of a careful study of the Word of God, even among many evangelicals, where they have bought into the self-love and self-esteem issues, so much so that I remember one very prominent Christian psychologist making the statement, if I were to give a prescription to all the women of the world, and you would think he would say it would be the gospel, but he doesn't. If I were to give a prescription to all the women of the world, he says, it would be that they learn to love themselves more. And what that's doing from a biblical perspective really is throwing gasoline on a smoldering fire.
Yes.
And that just makes people even more, much more self-centered in their approach to life and dealing with circumstances in life.
Somebody put it succinctly this way. They said, we must learn not to think less of ourselves, but to think of ourselves less. Not to think less of ourselves means that we should have a proper evaluation of who we are. Obviously, outside of Christ, we're guilty, hell-deserving sinners. We have rebelled against God. We like sheep have gone astray. We have gone our own way. We're in rebellion against the High King of Heaven, and that's who we are in our position outside of Christ. And we need to consider that and make sure that we have an accurate reflection of who we are. When we're in Christ, we have great possessions in Christ. We have a great position in Christ, of course, as the children of God, and our prospects in Christ are very good. But now we're liberated from a self-focus. We're now able to forget about ourselves and to lift up Christ and dedicate our entire life to His glory and His honor. And we do that by laying our life upon the altar of sacrifice. So it all comes down to really a proper perspective. And when we see these cases happen, like this one here in Colorado, one of the things we should look for is what sort of perspective did that person have about himself? And I think that's how we go back to what we started at the beginning of the broadcast. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
And that tells us a lot.
In principle, when we talk about inflating people's self-esteem, it's almost certainly it's going to be impossible to insulate everyone against ego threats when that happens. And in fact, the higher the self-esteem, the greater vulnerability there is going to be to ego threats. And people are then turned violent and angry when those things happen. In fact, the Hebrew word in the Old Testament for insanity is a word that means to be intensely self-centered, incredibly self-centered, self-focused. And so this is the way a person is when they are drunk on what society is teaching them. And we're just beginning to reap the fruit of a lot of the teaching of this over the last few decades.
Yeah, I think that that Maslow teaching that I was referring to before, that was something that was taught all throughout grammar school, you know, that the thing that we're all supposed to be trying to attain is this self-actualization, that, you know, to realize who you are and the it's all about you. In fact, do you remember a couple years ago, I think it was Time Magazine, they put the person of the year on the cover every year. And I remember that year, a number of years ago, they put a mirror on the cover because they said, it's all about you. YouTube came out. Listen to the title of that, YouTube. It was all about you, and the focus was on you. Well, when the focus is all about us, there are some very, very disturbing consequences that flow out of that. Not only a tremendous amount of depression flows out of that because it's out of touch with reality. You are not all that. You know, you're a person that is fallen and with flaws and so forth. So it's going to be very disappointing when all of your focus is upon yourself. And even worse, what we see is there's a lot of anger then. All of these dreams, these pipe dreams that they had that were disconnected from reality come crashing down. And what we find is a lot of people then lash out in anger. Dr. Street, thank you so much for being with us today on the broadcast. Our time is gone, but let me give you you got less than a minute, but your final comments.
Well, you mentioned the issue of anger. Anger is really caused by not being able to attain our prideful goals, our selfish goals. James 4, verses 1 through 3. Talks about that very thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to contemporary psychology today, you would think that what is it that causes fights and quarrels among you? Well, the answer would be men are from Mars and women are from Venus. that's what they would say.
Right.
But that's not what the Bible says. It has to do with the internal desires that go on in our heart.
Yes.
We want something that conflicts with what somebody else wants.
Thank you, Dr. Street. I'm
sorry. My world is incredibly self-centered.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry I got to cut you off there. Go to masters.edu to find out more about Dr. Street and his ministry.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.